Welcome to Demystifying Gay Porn. My name is Ike Grande, and if you watch gay porn, I've definitely helped to get off. It is another episode of Open Lines, and today we're talking to two members of the ABDL community. What is ABDL? We're going to find out now. I am talking to Rigby and Boogie from the ABDL community, which stands for?
Adult Baby Diaper Lover.
Adult Baby Diaper Lover. All right, this is a new one to me. I've seen pictures, but I really want to know a little bit more about it. So who would like to start? Who wants to give me the rundown on what ABDL is?
The ABDL community, or Adult Baby Diaper Lover, is a community of, you know, individuals who enjoy the aspects of being childlike and just viewing the world in a more innocent, playful manner. It does different things for different people. You know, some things are more geared towards like the playfulness and the youthfulness. And some things is for comfort, is for security. And everybody's different. But the main point of this is that we express ourselves the best way possible. And like, we just love to be little. We love to play with, you know, blocks and talk and laugh and do all the things that kids do. You know, it's just a fun and meaningful way to express oneself.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, for a lot of people, it's just kind of like just having like kind of that moment to step away from the stress of whatever's going on in their adult life. Like, there's a lot of overlap into other kink communities as well. Like, I know a lot of like pups who go into little space, furries who are littles as well. And then there are also people who strictly just like the wearing diapers aspect of it.
Okay.
And it may be about water sports. For some, it's scat related. Like, not everybody's into using diapers. Some people are.
So basically, the way I'm understanding it is, so it's a loss of control from a certain amount of stress that happens in everyday life, right? And you're able to go back into this moment where you have no control and you're kind of happy and you can do things very childlike. Am I understanding that correctly? Okay.
Yeah,
the world is stressful.
Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right.
There's a lot of things going on in the world. Mm-hmm. And so, like, to just disconnect from all of that and to just view the world as one big giant sandbox and playground, it's very refreshing and is very like much needed. And this is just, you know, again, it's how we deal with, you know, not dealing with the negative stuff that goes on.
And there are aspects of this that are purely non-sexual.
Absolutely.
And then there are aspects that are sexual.
Absolutely.
Okay. And one thing that you pointed out that I think is very interesting or important is that there are people that are just into diapers. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I've seen that before. I've seen grown men with diapers on and they get changed. And that's about all I've ever seen. So I haven't seen the sexual aspect of it, but I've seen this kind of playful going back to either a loss of control. And speaking of that, you guys are called littles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Littles in the ABDL community mean what?
Well, if you're part of like a dynamic with somebody, it's typically the more submissive role. Like, littles are typically seeking like a like caregiver figure of mm-hmm. sorts.
Mother or father, depending on who or what you're into. Yeah, okay.
Daddy or mommy, dom or something of that nature.
Or even like an older sibling, a big bro,
yeah, okay.
A big sister, you know, or just big sibling. Like, it's so many different things that you can like formulate within your own dynamic and what you're looking for.
Yeah, it's kind of like within the community, like little, almost like families of like littles and bigs like pop up.
So you guys have a lot of cousins and brothers and sisters, and depending on what you're into.
That, but it just means like it depends on like just, you know, just being around people, like you form these connections. And
and it's definitely not like an incest fantasy thing. Like, it's more just kind of a way of saying like, hey, like I kind of like view you as like family. Like,
you can take care of me. Like you have that, you possess that ability to instill trust, let's say.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Like, you have this, like, I'm looking at you and like, you are someone who I feel like I can be myself around 100%. And like, if I could use you to like, you know, mentor me or teach me things. And like, it's that aspect. Mm-hmm.
What does Dom mean in the ABDL community? Cause when I hear Dom, I'm so used to the mainstream BDSM term of sadomasochism. So you hear sub and Dom, it's gotta be something very different for you guys, right?
It can be. It can also bleed into like kind of the typical definition. Mm-hmm. Like my partner and I, who I call Daddy, like we engage in like even outside of like ABDL play, like I'm his sub.
So it outside of this play that you guys have. Role play, would you call it?
It's a form of role play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're taking on the role of said big, little, middle. So you're taking all those roles. So it's a form of role play. It's in that warehouse.
So now, for instance, he says it translates into outside of the role play or the fantasy. Do you have that effect as well? Does it stay in one place?
For me, because like I'm... So like, this is my foundation. This is like who I am. So I tend to like have that happen automatically. It's kind of like second nature to me. So if I'm involved with someone and they're aware of it and they're okay with this, then it'll go outside of a private play space. So it'll bleed into public areas. And it's just like, it's just, again, us just sharing that connection and exchanging that energy.
You guys are wearing diapers right now.
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
I actually wear them 24/7.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you are, okay. So I'm curious now let's talk about where you guys grew up. Where are you from? How did you grow up? And then how did this become a part of who you are? Was that early on in life or did it develop later?
So I grew up in New York City from New York City, Brooklyn. And my upbringing was very much, it wasn't strict, but it was very much like, okay, this is how we do things. And anything that goes beyond the realm of normalcy is considered, this is not what we do. And so for me, it was very much a self-exploration. And it happened later on in life. Like I always knew that I was very childlike. From like the beginning, I was always that animated, that playful person, no matter where I went. And so going into it and finding other people who have the same interests as me, it was very hard because I didn't have like a reference point or anything. But just growing up is just something that was always there. I just had to navigate it. And once I knew that this was not going away, this was just like a fly by night thought. Then I really took the time to like really dive into it and learn what it was about. And here I am today, but it was definitely a journey and it wasn't something that was easy. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to like basically do this or even be aware with yourself that this is something that you're into, but with time and the right people and the right resources, like, you know, you can be who you are and it's okay. So that's pretty much my story.
Yeah. And I mean, given the, like, just to touch on something he said, like given the stigma surrounding it with people, like associating it with like pedophilia, things of that nature.
Yeah. I was going to ask about that.
One of the furthest things aren't, because it's like, we don't want anything to do with kids. If anything, we're jealous that we don't have like the same freedoms as we did like when we were like little kids.
Okay.
And, but yeah, as a result of that stigma, like growing up, it was just kind of like another layer of me being like ashamed of my queerness because like, it wasn't until I talked to like a trained therapist and confided in them that I was interested in diapers that like because I thought I was crazy. I thought there was something wrong with me.
Absolutely.
Like, and it wasn't until like a professional told me like, no, that's like a perfectly like valid form of like escapism or mm-hmm. like enjoying yourself.
I feel like there's a level of nurture that everybody wants in life. And thank you for pointing out the pedophile aspect of it, because there is no such, you guys act like kids, but you're adults. You don't want anything to do with kids.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very important. Very similar to the episode with the pup play. I had to ask, you know, because, and I almost around the same time I said the same thing, you know, people sometimes tend to be very dumb when it comes to immediately just branding something a certain way. Mm-hmm. And until I would say 20 years ago, if you asked me this question, absolutely, I wouldn't have had the knowledge or the open-mindedness to understand that you guys, this is just a level of you chilling out, relaxing, doing your thing, right? You're not hurting anybody.
No.
Right. You guys are basically a community of people, and you find each other, you can talk to each other, you can feel safe with each other. What is it like outside of the community? Like you said, you wear diapers 24 hours a day. So when you go to work, you're in diapers.
I work from home. So that's
so, okay. Issue. So that's yeah. So instead of wearing shorts and, you know, a button down, you're wearing diapers and a button down.
Pretty much.
Okay.
It's been so long at this point, I don't put much thought into it. It's just kind of like picking out my underwear for the day. Like, it's just kind of become like anything can, it becomes routine. Like, and it's like, yeah, it's just, I have really high anxiety. I have CPTSD, and it's like, it's not like, I found over time that like when I was padded, I felt more mentally sound than when I wasn't. And since that doesn't hurt anybody, I was just like, okay, I'll just wear diapers instead. Like,
so it's almost like a form of medication in a way, if you think about it, in the most innocent way to say it. Like, when I think of medication, I think of pharmaceutical companies that are pumping stuff into people and, you know, creating zombies and stuff. This is a way for you to feel better. And you know, nobody's the wiser. I need to ask both of you guys, do your friends know and do your family know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. On my end.
For me, like, most of my friends know because we're part of the same community. So we know and stuff like that. My family is more of a mixed situation. Like, some do know and some is like, I'm glad you're living your life and like, you know, you're being free. But then, you know, you have those family members who are just like, oh, I can't deal with it. How can you do this and all of that? But for the most part, it's been a positive experience overall, but it's a mixed bag for me.
For me, it was, in terms of how my family found out, it was actually kind of, a case of me being a very troublesome teenager. I was messing around with some stuff I shouldn't have, and so my mom went to look for evidence and instead found diapers. So that was a conversation I had to have with her.
Outside of what she was thinking you were doing.
Yeah, she was looking for drugs. She found diapers.
Phew. Or what did she like?
The thing was, like, initially there was definitely, like, well, I was, fun fact, I was a bedwetter up until I was 15.
Okay.
And so initially her thought was that I was still wetting the bed and trying to hide it. And at first, like, I was like, yeah, I'll just go with that. And so I did, but then, like, her and my dad started footing the bill for diapers again, and so I felt really guilty since I didn't actually, like, need them at that point. So, like, I fessed up, and just kind of in the simplest terms possible, like, explained that, like, I enjoy wearing them. It, like, helps quell my anxiety. And as far as parents go, that's all they really need to know about it.
How about you? Did you ever have situations like that at home? I always feel like there's a point or a precipice where in your young life, you find something and it kind of just molds or becomes who you are, even if you don't understand that was the point where it does happen. Can you pinpoint that moment?
For me, I would want to say like, I was kind of like 16, 17 ish. And I have a thing for stuffed animals. Like, I love stuffed animals. And so I collect, so like, I just buy them, or like, you know, I win them at carnivals and stuff. And it was one situation where like my mom would be like, you have quite stuffed animals. Are you giving them away to like your niece? Like, you know, my nieces and nephews? Like, no, these are for me. And it was like, well, why do you need them? And it's like, because I like them. Like, it makes me happy. Like, I love, you know, I just love them. So it was a conversation about that. And then like, as time went on, you know, I started like getting into buying the gear and stuff and buying like bottles and stuff like that. And it wasn't always a conversation again. But why do you have a bottle? And it's like, well, because I wanted it. But like, again, it was just one of those things that helped amplify this lifestyle that I chose to live. And it was just helpful. But time went on and we just had conversations. So it was always a conversation every time something new would come through the mail. But,
and you're like, oh, wow.
Just, right. To the point where now it's like everything was just out in the open. I was like, it's just here. And
I'm in recovery, and it's actually something that has, like, as I was getting sober, it like was a form of escapism I could use that wasn't like destroying my life.
So it's like having a drink at night, or having smoking some marijuana, smoking some pot, or whatever your pleasures are when it comes to de-stressing at night.
Right.
What I want to do too is relate it to myself, and I'm sure people listening or watching will do the same. And that's just the most perfect way to think about it, or the way that makes me think, oh, okay, I understand exactly where you're coming from. You guys just kind of, yeah, it's been a fucking long work week. Take your clothes off and put on a pair of diapers and just hang out. Like, okay. Right. Like, if I was into that, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fucking get into that yoga pose, baby, and I'm just going to rock back and forth. And okay. let's get into the sexual aspect of it. Is ABDL for both of you not only non-sexual but sexual?
Yeah, in situations, yes.
Okay. If you did find porn on the internet, or if you did find adult entertainment, whatever you want to call it, dealing with ABDL, what was that like, seeing that? Actually, you know what? Scratch that. Before we even get there, what was it like finding other people that felt the same way you did?
Oh, wow. So I'll start. When I first was like really serious about, you know, diving into this and learning about it and being part of it, it was very stressful because like the nerves was just kicking in. And so I went and I did the whole, you know, New York City area. And like, I found like places they had like a munch, which is like a get together in a setting. And I stood outside that door for maybe like 45 minutes. And I was like, I cannot go in. I was like, because I don't know anybody. I don't know what they're going to perceive of me. I don't know what to think. So when I finally went in and I sat down, and it was refreshing to know that there was people there that was like, no, we get it. Like, you know, we're here to guide you on this, and we're here to offer our support. And, you know, we're just like you, like we've been there. And so it's been very comforting going forward, because now I had that place of security. So it's like, okay, so I know that I'm not the only one who feels like this and thinks like this. There's other people that has the same interest, and there's other people in the same vicinity, so that we can do things together and it won't be it won't be weirded out or it won't be normal because I'm around, you know, friends at this time. So it was very refreshing to know that. But at first, I was very much nervous. I was all sorts of thoughts was going through my brain. Is this normal? Is this something that I should be into? What? And so, but the process, I'm glad for it because it made me better. It made me stronger. It made me who I am today, and giving that back to the community, to people who are coming into this now and have that same feeling that I had. Mm. You know, now I'm in a position to where I can, like, I know where you've been. And trust me, it's okay. It's normal. It's fine. Be you. So it's coming full circle every single day.
Yeah. For me, it was like my first exposure to other people interested in ABDL was probably back in the days of like AOL and MSN Messenger chat rooms.
I'm quite familiar.
Because when I first like discovered this stuff like on the internet and like became interested, like I was in my teens, so I was like very reticent to like dive into anything. Mm. Luckily, I landed in like a chat room where like they were like, come back when you're 18. But
that's good.
Yeah, but that was when it, like, I at least realized, like, okay, I'm not the only, like, person out there who's into this. Like, and that at least gave me, like, some measure of comfort until I was, like, old enough to actually, like, engage in the scene. And the first time I actually engaged in the scene was by, like, really weird coincidence. A mutual friend of like an ex of mine, like we found each other on Grindr because we both had like incognito ABDL profiles, and like wow. After initially chatting, it was like, we know each other. The first time hanging out with another like ABDL was just kind of a breath of fresh air because it was just kind of like, okay, like I'm not alone in this.
So the first time hanging out, that's what that experience was like. But getting back to my question before that, the first time you saw something sexual involving, because you guys probably had those thoughts in your minds beforehand, right? Like you already had built up almost a fantasy. What was it like to see that fantasy kind of come to life in front of you on video, on the internet, or in front of you, if it ever happened in front of you? I would assume like some meetups kind of get into some shit. Yeah.
We're all adults.
Yeah.
You know, so there's definitely moments where, you know, some things may escalate to that sexual place. For me, at first I didn't know how to process it because I've always viewed this for quite some time now as, and headspace is for me to escape. It's for me to have fun. So to take it sexually for me was very hard to get into. It was very hard to engage in because like you're in such a vulnerable state, especially with dealing with this type of dynamic. You're mm-hmm. in a real vulnerable state. And I didn't want to tarnish that with the act of sex or anything sexual at first, until I experienced it with someone who showed me, who made me feel that, but in a different perspective. So it was more loving. It was caring. It was a moment as it wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to do this to you. And like, and it wasn't weirded out. It was very much a very magical moment. And so the transition into like, it can be sexual for me has been a lot easier, but for a while, like, it's just like, this is not sexual at all. But when you see these things, like your brain reacts how it's going to react, you know, and you don't really have control over that. So you're going to get aroused at certain things, you know, it's just a matter of how about going about it and, you know, and finding the compatible people to engage with that with safely and not have it scar you.
Can I ask, did you feel that kind of reluctancy to it because of the role play that was already attached to it, because you were technically a child or a kid, and it's not supposed to be sexual. Was that? I don't want to lead with that, but I'm curious.
No, I mean, that's absolutely valid. And that was one of the reasons why for me it was so hard too, because, you know, you get that and your brain kind of like goes that round. Like, no, this is wrong. And, you know, you're acting like a child, and the whole stigma that surrounds it already. So I really was trying to like distance from the sexual aspect as much as possible. But once you really understand, and you understand that it's a connection thing, it's an energy thing, like it's magical. Like it's an experience that you get to experience, but you have to be ready for it. You have to be prepared for it. It's not for everybody. It's, you know, it's a case by case situation.
How about you for,
For me, like one of the biggest sexual draws about it was like, one, I'm very much into water sports, so there's that.
Both of you guys?
Yes.
Okay. So that's kind of a way it leads into, or not leads into, but it kind of can be incorporated with other fetishes and kinks and stuff.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So water sports?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's also kind of like, I tend to, in a lot of aspects of my life, be a control freak, and so just the idea of somebody else taking control, being able to be in like a vulnerable position and feel safe in that vulnerable position, like it was just a huge turn on for me, because it's just kind of like,
you take the wheel.
because I burn myself out so often, because like I'm just like, no, like everything has to go my way, and like this is, it's kind of like exchanging like that power dynamic, yeah, like that you like have with whoever, like your daddy, mommy, Dom, sir, whatever you want to refer to them as, because there's a whole spectrum. There was a lot of discipline growing up in my house, and not much nurturing, like individuality. And so kind of like,
a lot of people can relate, so don't worry. I understand.
I mean, almost like an approval kink, like a praise kink, I guess. Mm. Like getting told that like I'm a good little
boy, okay,
like being all right, praised for.
We got year. There, yeah.
Yeah,
such a good boy. Sit like that, like yeah okay,
stuff like that, like,
okay.
And like just kind of like, also just kind of like, if you're like in a dynamic with somebody, kind of like having that like little secret between the two of you, like when you're out in public, because it's like, yeah, I'm diapered underneath my clothes, but only like myself and my partner know that.
And he can say one word to you and yeah, just trigger
whisper,
it. Okay.
And I'm like a puddle.
Okay. All right. Now that you brought up a couple of kinks and fetishes.
Yeah, I'm all over the place.
Don't worry. You guys like water sports.
Yes.
And real quick, going back to that, do you think that has anything to do with the fact that you wet your bed until you were in your teens? The water sports aspect of it, or
no, if it's connected, honestly, like I mean, that was a pretty big, like at the time, it was a pretty big source of embarrassment. So, like maybe it's some subconscious way of reclaiming it. I don't know. But,
oh, okay. Yeah, exactly.
just like.
We'll get back to that. Hold on to that thought. But yeah. So water sports, with ABDL, what other kinks and fetishes are attached to you guys personally? I know that there's other ones, and I think one of you guys mentioned scat before, and that's on another level. I always say there's a couple things that I just can't get down with. A lot of scat, blood, kids, and animals. I'll never, and you know, there are people out there that have these fetishes and stuff, but I don't think necessarily shitting on them, no pun, is the best way to go about it. I think those people need to talk about it with other people. That way they don't hurt anybody. Right. Because there's nothing worse than somebody that's not a willing participant in what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially within like the kink and BDSM community at large, like we never want to yuck nobody's yum. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has their thing and that's fine. Respect at the end of the day is what's important. So I might not have the same interests as Rigby, and Rigby may not have the same interests as me, but when we have those type of things, it's like, okay, I respect you that you are living your life and you're doing what you're doing. And as long as you're doing it safely and consensually, have fun. You know, it's just not for me. So we want to make that a big point as well. Like, it's about respect at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, when it comes to, like, certain characters who may crop up that would be problematic or do have interests that they should probably seek professional help about. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a tight-knit enough community that it's pretty easy to make sure that those people are excluded from spaces where they could potentially cause harm to others.
Now that we're talking about trust and community, when you guys get into a scenario, I don't know. I mean, I come from a world of we put together sex scenes, right? And, you know, we know that we're going to be on set and this is what's going to happen. You're going to be here for so much amount of time. What does a typical session look like when you're into ABDL?
It can very much depend on the person. It can go similarly to how you described it. It can also just happen like very organically. Say he and I are hanging out, like it can just kind of like naturally escalate from him like checking or rubbing like my diaper to other things. If you're playing with someone new, obviously, like, making sure, like, you know what each other's boundaries are. And
okay. Not to interrupt, but when you do that with boundaries, do you do that already in the headspace of being a baby, or do you do that in the adult headspace?
By and large, like, we're always have to be responsible adults about this. And so, like, it's before you like sink into any kind of headspace.
Okay.
To have a serious discussion.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Like, especially if like, say you're doing a scene where like you use your diaper and somebody's changing you, like that's a very vulnerable position to put yourself in with somebody. I mean, it can also be like kind of an intimate moment that you share with somebody if done correctly, but like there has to be, this is what I want, this is what I don't want, what are you okay with?
The like, negotiation process has to start.
It's
pretty much goes from that adult standpoint, that adult mindset of like, again, like where we said, like, what do you like? What are you not like? What's okay? What's not okay? You know, at any point you feel like, you know, it's going to a place you don't want to go to. Is there any cues or any words that I need to be aware of? It's always a part of that negotiation and conversation. So I would tend to say, yes, it should be done in like an adult frame of mind. And then once you get that down packed, it's like, all right, let's
play. Let's boogie. Yeah. Okay, so it sounds very similar to a lot of models that I work with. A lot of times, if they know what they're doing, they'll walk in and say, okay, well, I'm into this. I like my nipples played with. I like that. This will really turn me on. So it's very similar, just different, but similar at the same time. When it comes to who you're into. What do you guys, what do you like? You guys are littles, right? So I assume the person that's Dom is going to be called the big.
They're caregivers.
Okay. What does the community call them?
Usually, like, either, like, caregivers or, like, CG for short, or,
okay,
like, daddies, mommies, like, yeah.
The community is primarily summed up of a lot of gay male presenting, so you'll see a lot of daddies in that, but there's, again, all sorts of dynamics, and it's been a boom now to where it's, like, there are more, it's more diverse, because you have more, you know, people from all different types of gender expressions. And so to eliminate that daddy boy type vibe, like it's now more little caregiver to, like, you know, not put a gender attached to it, but like just, hey, y'all, my little caregiver, or, you know.
Do you guys vibe with caregivers who are gay more, or how do you?
For me, definitely, since there's like a sexual component, like I tend to gravitate towards like gay men, because like I want that aspect to be there. I guess you could say I gravitate towards men I know could throw me around.
Okay. Okay. Do you guys do content online? Are creators as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
My partner and I run a Just for Fans page.
Okay. And when you do your Just for Fans page, or when you do videos, when you do situations like that, how long do people in the community usually expect something like that to last?
On like the length of the content? It can depend on the content. If it's like, say, just like a simple like diaper change video, like that's probably only gonna run like 5 to 10 minutes. Another thing that I get, because like I am into like traditional BDSM as well, like so we do spanking, we do spanking videos, and those can tend to run a little bit, like, on the longer side.
Do you do the spanking videos in ABDL as well, though? Like, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of like typically there will be kind of like a fantasy of like, oh, like daddy caught me doing something bad, or I did something I wasn't supposed to, so like I'm getting spanked for it.
So now you bring up a good point, and I want to ask you guys, is there a specific age that you identify with when you are role playing?
Yeah. So I identify as a 3-year-old.
Okay.
And I am a glamour 3-year-old. I'm into bling and fashion and all of that. But it resonated with me because in my mind I like the show Rugrats.
And
there's a character like Angelica. Angelica is a 3-year-old, and she's able to talk to both the babies and the adults.
So
for me, it's like I can be that.
You know, I can be. You're the mediator.
Understand the littles and the babies of what's going on, but also be like, I can, you know, formulate words with the adults and stuff. So if I need anything, like I can go ask an adult, or I can be that like kind of like big brother to the littles and assist them and kind of bully them sometimes too, depending on the vibe.
I know. How about you? What age do you role play or identify as in role play?
I'd say like around the same age, like between like 2.5 and 3.
Wow, very technical.
But yeah, I kind of like occupying that like middle space where I'm not like completely helpless, but I still have that sense of like being like taken care of. And that is another thing, like in when I am like in that headspace, I have like a much easier time like asking for help, like with things just in general, like because like I said, like I like to be in control of most things, and when I'm in little spaces, one of the few times I'll allow myself to be like, take the reins, tell me what to do.
Like, yeah, here you go. You guys are both holding plush toys. You both have your pacifiers. You have a drink. What are some of the accessories that you guys use? Other than like, this is it. Like when you do videos, for instance, right? Are you doing videos? Like, are there cribs? Are there, what's involved?
Well, with some people in the community, you will definitely find that, but, and, adult-sized crib is
expensive. Not.
Yeah, it's a commitment.
It's kind of like that. Like those kinds of videos, like definitely require like a level of commitment.
But there's all sorts of like, you know, accessories that people can like. Can utilize, like, I know, you know, people have like the play mats with the letters and the numbers.
Okay.
I mean, like that could be like the play area, you know, and you can, or you can go to like your local, like Home Depot or something and get like the play pens and you can use those. So you can definitely like improvise and get things to emulate a child-like room, a child's room.
Yeah. And they're like the, like alphabet play mats and whatever. My bedroom's a mess right now, but it's also like filled with like stuffed animals. There's like a little area set aside that's kind of it's like a styrofoam mat type area for like changing and whatnot that has like all of the supplies and everything. So it's kind of like the bed where like Daddy and I sleep, and then there's kind of like the nursery section of the bedroom, like where like all the plushes and the diapers and all that stuff is. And
you can make it your own, like let your imagination go wild. So if you like, if you have the means and the space, go all out, have a nursery, have a separate room or play area. But if you don't, like you can still have that, you know, you just got to find ways to just see your vision come to life. And for some, it just be stuffed animals. For some, it can be a full-blown crib and high chair and all of that stuff. But it's just, you know, it's an assessment to help you get to that headspace.
When you do finish your, let's say, session or your role-playing, in the sexual aspect of it, does it end in climax?
Are you familiar with like chastity play?
Yes.
Okay. I am actually a locked sub. So for me, no.
How does that feel?
I love it, honestly. Okay. Like just the feeling of kind of like almost like constant need, like where it's almost like I'm like dependent on like daddy or another like superior, like for like pleasure. It's just kind of like that power dynamic and the exchange is just really, really hot to me.
But there has to be moments that you do get off.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I was going to say, you have to, like, let it go. So,
There's, like, through anal stimulation, through, like vibrators, and then also, obviously, like, there will be occasions where, like, I'm unlocked for, like, hygiene purposes and whatnot. Like, with the exception of being unlocked for hygiene purposes, I've been locked since July 16th of last year.
Holy hell. Wow. I mean,
I'm very horny all the time.
I can imagine. How about you? How about like climax for you? Is that a part of your
not all the time.
Okay.
Sometimes definitely it's something that's be going all the way. But for the most part, just the energy, the thought is enough to like, you know, like, I'm good, I'm satisfied. And it's, you know, sometimes better than climaxing at some point, depending on how intense the scene is and how deep you go with someone else. And that, again, that energy exchange, and that it can be better than a climax at some point. So it's really dependent.
It's very interesting to see how a headspace can make it not just about, I need to get off, I need to release. It's been there the whole time. It's just, we've been so almost programmed by porn to hey, you have to come, I have to come, that's it, we go home.
Yeah. It's not like, some of the most like satisfying scenes I've done haven't resulted in immediate climax, but have resulted in me like climaxing at the thought of that.
I was gonna ask you that. Do you look back in situations, let's say you're getting your diaper changed, let's say they're giving you a bottle or something, do you look back at situations like that and like jerk off thinking about that?
Things like that, not as much necessarily. Well, depending on like the kind of diaper change it is. If it's the kind of diaper change where like I'm getting like a plug or a toy put in me, that's yes.
Okay.
Obviously. But like otherwise, like it's typically like change time for me, at least, is more kind of like vulnerable and intimate than sexual. And the same would kind of go with like getting a bottle from somebody. What I look back on more is kind of like the dominance and submission, and like, at least for me, like, it's like my partner and I essentially have like a total power exchange relationship. Okay. So it's just kind of like, it was very easy to fall into ABDL like from that.
Okay. So that came first.
Well,
or
ABDL came first.
Okay.
But then like I kind of realized that it was because it ties into my desire to be controlled by someone.
Okay. When you guys think of people that would be listening to this and watching who don't know where to turn to or don't know who to talk to about, what would be the first thing that you would say to them?
I would say to first, you're normal and it's okay to feel these feelings. If you really want to like go to and want to find like a community of your own, go to your local, you know, go to your local social media platforms and try and see if you can like connect with other people. And I know here in New York City, there is a community, a wonderful community called the NYC ABDL group. And we cater to everyone, but we mostly cater to those who are new to this and trying to find their way. And so we're trying to make us be like, okay, we're here, you know, and we are proud to be who we are. There's no shame. There's no judgment. There's no anything. So whatever your experience level is within this, you can come and you can talk, you can chat. Like, there's amazing people who runs it. They're awesome. But I would definitely tell somebody to do your research. Make sure that it's something that you really want to get into, because it is an investment. Like, these things are not cheap. These diapers are not cheap. All of the things is not cheap. So make sure that you're willing to go invest in that, because you don't need it. Like, let's make that clear. Like, you don't need all of this to be an ABDL. Like, if this is how you feel, then you are.
Yeah. That's something I would definitely want to touch on, is that, like, don't ever let anybody try to gatekeep you from the community because you don't have
absolutely
the right little gear, or because you can't afford to get diapers, or like whatever it is. Like, if you identify as like little, like, you're more than welcome to occupy that little space with everybody else. Like, fuck anybody who says you have to have A, B, or C in order to like belong in the community, because it's definitely more about the headspace than it is whatever like crazy gear you have. That's just an added bonus.
Yeah, and whatever, and whatever, like whatever, whatever is more appealing to you, whether it be more the AB side or the DL side, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's, we're all one big community at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And we all like to, you know, just hang around each other and like share the positive things and be friendly and loving and caring and offer advice and whatever, do all that. So it doesn't matter what side you fall onto, you know, or they could be a vast percentage of, you know, I'm 20% AB and I'm 60%, you know, DL, or, you know, I'm all the way AB, or I'm all the way DL. It doesn't really matter. As long as you feel who you are and own it and be comfortable in it and love yourself, most importantly, that's what matters.
When people watch this and they want to get in touch with you, can they get in touch with you?
Sure.
Okay. Sure. Where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter. It's at diapercockrigs, all lowercase, all one word.
Okay.
You can find me on Twitter. It's L Boogie Bear. I'm also on Instagram. It's IM_BoogieB. And if you see me around everywhere, because I'm traveling everywhere, just don't be afraid to say hi to me. I'm very much welcoming and able to answer any questions you may have.
Lastly, before we go, you did want to mention a brand of...
Yeah, so I feel... So there's plenty of manufacturers who are, you know, catering to this kink or fetish, however you want to put it, but this community. And I want to take just a little moment to really highlight ABU and Tykables. Like, they have been so profound in their stance and like just helping the community and like being at events and cons and stuff. Two of them are sponsors to our group, you know, and it's been a way for people who maybe they've never wore a diaper before. They don't know how, like, they don't, now they have the opportunity to experience that and not have to spend a dime because they've stepped up and say, hey, we want to support the cause. We want to be, you know, we want to uplift the community and we want to shed this positive light on it and get away from the stigmatizing negativity. And so those two companies in particular, big ups to them, because, you know, it's helped a lot of people, especially getting into it and trying to figure stuff out and trying to figure out, you know, where to go for if they want to get the gear and stuff like that. They've been really helpful in that.
And like, if like, I've never had any, like, they, like, if you order from them, they will go out of their way for you, like, in absolutely. Terms of, like, discretion, making, like, you're not gonna, like, have a box at your front door that says, like, diapers and, like, big bubble letters. Yeah.
And lollipops and stickers, so who doesn't want that?
That's awesome. That is awesome. I have to thank you guys so much. You've taught me a lot. I walked into it knowing a bare minimum, and I leave here intrigued, but also next time there is an event of some kind at some point in the future, I would love to, you know, if I'm invited, because I know a lot of times certain communities are not open to cameras or anything like that. And I get it because of discretion, but I feel like it's important. The more we can disclose or demystify, which is the name of the podcast, certain things, the less of a taboo or a situation where people think it's weird, can just become normal in the most basic sense of the word. If we can live in a world where everybody can just do whatever they want and nobody gives a shit and nobody thinks it's weird, that would be amazing. So I have to thank you guys, Rigby, Boogie, for coming on and telling us a little bit about ABDL and the community.
Thanks for having me.
No problem, man.
I came in here very nervous, and I'm still nervous that I may have said something.
Oh, no, you'll be fine. You guys are great. You've been watching Demystifying Gay Porn. I am your host, Ike Grande. Demystifying Gay Porn is available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as YouTube. Demystifying Gay Porn is on X, Instagram, Facebook, Telegram. And if you like what you're watching or listening to and want to be a part of the creative process, head over to patreon.com/demystifyinggayporn, where you can help support this audiovisual podcast and YouTube channel, and I can continue making content like you've just enjoyed. Once again, this is Demystifying Gay Porn. My name is Ike Grande, and if you watch gay porn, I've definitely helped you get off. Cheers.